our faith, our worship, our life in Christ always starts and ends with the cross. There is a reason why we process in and behind the cross and process out of the church behind the cross. Martin Luther described this as sola crucis, through the cross alone. It is through the cross that we understand the fullness of God's love, God's mercy, God's interactions with you and me, and God's heart. So if we begin with the cross, how do we make sense of the cross then? Well, two illustrations show us how sort of odd it is to have a cross as the center of your belief. And the second shows the depths that the cross will touch into. The first one that points in a humorous way comes from the 1977 film by Monty Python, Life of Brian. Some of you have heard it. I see some heads nodding on there. So if you haven't heard it, I even got a thumbs up. So now we're rocking. So if you haven't heard it or watched it, please do. I commend it to you. I'll just give you a quick little snippet. Brian Cohen is the focus of this religious parody by Monty Python. Everybody knows Monty Python a little bit. And so Cohen was born in a stable next door to the one in which Jesus was born. Okay, so he's Brian of Nazareth. So you already get the sort of the silliness that they go into. And towards the end, there is a crucifixion scene. And there's this incredibly poignant back and forth. And there's a whole martyr scene. You've got the Romans and the people of Judea who all like sacrifice themselves. And then you have Brian here as the center character. And as they're all hanging to their death, at the very end, a guy starts to sing, you know what they say, some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing on life's gristle, don't grumble. Give a whistle, and this will help things turn out for the best. And then he goes on to say, always look on the bright side of life. Right? Now, mind you, they're singing this hanging on the cross, okay? Always look on the best side of life. Now, we know that obviously hanging on the cross is not the best side of life, right? But we also know that when Jesus hung on the cross, he gave us this incredible gift that we celebrate every single Sunday. So as much fun as Python was having in this film, the reality in our lives is that Jesus' death was the single best thing that ever happened to the world. It was the best side of life that God sacrificed for you and me. Written in a more poetic and deep way, I've been reading a little bit of Nick Cave. Anybody, any Nick Cave fans out there? Okay, we're making some progress today. A little bit. Anyway, I commend him to you, too. He's a British singer-songwriter. He's incredibly prolific, and he's won an enormous amount of awards and things that you've never thought he'd be a part of, he's been a part of. He came out with a book right after COVID, and he had lost his 15-year-old son in 2015, I believe, and had a real crisis of faith. And during COVID, he really dug into his own faith. And he wrote this. He goes, and there was this man called Jesus. And he promised he would leave us with a word that would light up the night. Oh, the night. But the stars hang from threads and blink off one by one. And it isn't any fun, no, it isn't any fun to be standing here alone with nowhere to be, with a man mad with grief on each side, a thief, and everybody hanging from a tree. From a tree. Everybody's hanging from a tree in some way, and yet that's precisely what Jesus did. In other words, the cross, as our entry point into our relationship with God, reminds us that wherever we suffer, whatever pains, whatever hurts we have, Jesus is right there with us as a rock, as a loving friend, as a neighbor, as a father, as your Savior. That's the power of the cross. It reminds us that wherever we go, Jesus will be there. So it's difficult, though, to get into. How do you market this? I was thinking about this all the time because I'm a retailer at heart. And so it's like, how do you then take this idea of the cross and start selling it? Well, I think we're going to start our new marketing program here at St. Mark's. It's not just going to be word of mouth. Not just going to be encouraging your neighbor, all good things, bring your neighbors to church, yes. But it's not going to be our fancy website. Our website needs some work for sure. It's not going to be the beautiful sanctuary. It's going to be not on YouTube or Facebook, but it's going to be the answer that Jesus gives us today. Flesh and blood. Stop for a second now. Don't let yourself be immune to that. Think about this. What if our marketing is this. What we're offering is the chance to come and eat somebody's body and drink their blood. Come on in, you cannibals and you vampires. That's what you're really talking about. Think about the first time these Jews heard this. If you drink of my blood and eat of my flesh, you will have eternal life. Period. End of discussion. No church dogmatics, no orthodoxy, no praxis, no you must sign this paper, no are you a member, no what have you pledged, no nothing. It's simply, do you come and drink my blood and eat my flesh? And if you do, then very truly I tell you, you will be in heaven. Not just in the future, but today, he tells us. That's really striking. I mean, imagine if we had, and you know, members of the vestry have always heard me joke about this, and it's like a partial joke about having like big neon lights somewhere, like big variable signage somewhere around the church. We're not really going to do that yet. But, you know, what if we had like, come on by on Sunday. We got some, you know, arms to eat. Right? I mean, because that's what we're really, I mean, we don't get down to knowing exactly what part of the body we're eating when we're eating the bread. But what if we just were more specific? Like, we're going to drain the left leg today and drink that blood. And you're going to get the left leg too. But that is what we're talking about, isn't it? That is what we're talking about when we come to this altar rail Sunday after Sunday, kneeling, putting our hands out, and receiving the body and blood of our Lord and Savior. It's so powerful. Think about that, because it's real. It's earthy. Right? Low as church as I might be, and some of you know these terms, some of you don't, but that just means like I'm much more of a Protestant Episcopalian than more of a Catholic Episcopalian. There's a whole spectrum there. Nothing gets away from the power of receiving the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, coming with nothing to the altar rail and receiving eternal life. That's a pretty good deal, isn't it? Not bad, you know, come with nothing and I get to live forever. But that's precisely what Jesus is telling us with no ifs, ands, or buts about it. To participate in Holy Communion is, yes, an absolute remembrance of his sacrifice for us. It's an absolute recreation and a memorial to his death on the cross. The worst thing that ever happened to God, the best thing that ever happened to the world. There's no doubt about that. But it's also something deeper. It's a chance where we can corporally, bodily, touch into this love. Sacrament, after all, is the outward and visible sign of the inward working of God in your life. when we come and receive the body and blood of our Lord and Savior, we are reminded time after time again that we have been claimed as His. We have been saved as His child, and we have been given the gift of eternal life. Amen.
Please stand as you are able, and let us reaffirm the faith.